The whole area of forgiveness is something that I believe is going to speak to us tremendously. And it actually, we decided that we wanted to do this area of forgiveness one of the first nights, because it lays really the foundation for everything else from where we're going. And it opens up things in our hearts that I believe will, so that we'll be able to receive about the rest of the teachings and so forth. So, Michael?
Okay, today I want to talk about something that's the most common sin in the church, and it's also the most common problem outside of the church, and that's the issue of forgiveness. And you realize I have these things set up here because in case you get a little bit mad at me, at least I have a barricade I can hide behind. If you know anything about the Bible, you would know that Jesus taught on forgiveness, right? I think pretty much everybody would know that. And yet it remains a huge issue, and as I said, even for church people. And speaking of church people, I assume you all figured out, since we're in a church, we're going to be speaking from the Word of God, from the problem. And why we're going to do that is because, like we shared last week for Pastor Bill and myself and Pastor Noel, the things that we're talking about and God himself, to us, it's not just theory. It's not just something that we, or someone that we read about when we pick this book up. It's real. Because each of us have had, like we said in that song, and hopefully that song touched you, but each of us have had, like we sang in that song, an encounter with God. See, for me, I like to be very practical. I don't like fake stuff. I don't like facades and all these different things that you find many times in society. For me, it has to be real. And I had an encounter with God. My life was drastically, drastically changed. And it was then that I began to study him. It was then that I began to learn about God, after I had the encounter, not before, because that encounter changed my life. And so that's why, to us, we're going to be referring to what the Word of God says, because it's real. It really is real. It's not just something that we read about. And you see, we believe that God created us. And if that's true, then you must also believe that he can fix us when we're broken. Right? Does that make sense, right? I mean, if you drive a Toyota and your Toyota's broken, you're probably not going to take it to a plumber. Right? You're going to take it to a mechanic, probably even a Toyota mechanic, because nobody's going to know how to fix that thing better than a Toyota mechanic, right? Same thing with us. We believe that God created us. And so there's nobody who knows better to fix us than him. And I believe that a lot of the secular and non-church world, for another word for secular, the counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists, I think a lot of them have a good heart and they really, really want to help people and mean well. But if they're not coming from this foundation, which is a foundation of the one who created us, how much do they know about it? And I'm going to talk to you about that. So forgiveness and unforgiveness. You know, many years ago when I first heard of this concept of forgiving others, I had to admit that I was pretty shocked. I had a little bit of an issue with it, a big issue. I said, wait a minute, this can't be right. These people have hurt me, and now you're asking me to forgive them, because I somehow, I don't know where I got this from, but I somehow believed that if I forgave someone for what they did to me, it's kind of like saying what they did to me is okay. Is anybody else? Is I the only one? I kind of thought that. I kind of thought, you know, if somebody hurts me and I say I forgive them, it's like releasing them from that debt. It's like saying what they did is okay, that it wasn't really that bad. But, you know, we all want revenge. We somehow think that revenge is going to make us feel better. You know, if I get better, if I get even with Johnny, that'll make me feel better. If I just bop him in the nose or blow up his car or whatever, you know, that's going to make me feel better. And so when I came across this concept of forgiveness, it really shocked me. It really twisted my head. It twisted my thinking. Because I thought that I'd be letting them off the hook. But that's not the case at all. In fact, I need to tell you that in a lot of cases, the people that have hurt you, what they did to you is not okay. It's not. It's not about saying that whoever hurt you, what they did to you is okay. But there's reasons that we do it, and I'm going to show that to you. And so, as I said, you know, when I came across this whole concept of forgiveness, it was a really hard pill for me to swallow. If you were here last week, a lot of you were, you'd remember that I shared that I used to have a very violent anger. I mean, it was crazy, chasing people on the road and driving through cornfields, and my wife would be sitting beside me, you know, with her fists clenched, white knuckles, because she'd be terrified. We'd be going 160 kilometers an hour in the slow lanes, you know. I mean, that was just, that wasn't even fast. That was just normal. Insane, crazy driving. And so, again, you know, when I came across this thing of forgiving people, it was a really hard thing for me to understand. But, you know, there's a verse, Hosea 4:6, that says that people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And we sometimes think, you know, that old saying, what you don't know can't hurt you. That's not entirely true. Because if you don't know that cigarettes and alcohol and booze is going to hurt you, and you partake of it, it's still going to hurt you anyway, right? Even if you don't know that. So this verse says that people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So in other words, there's things that we may not know about that can destroy us. And how that works is like this. I have a scar. If you were to come here and see my wrist, I have a scar across my wrist here from something that happened when I was young and foolish, around 17 years old. And when that happened, there's about 8 stitches there. When that happened, I knew what to do. I drove to the hospital. And when I got to the hospital, they knew what to do. They stitched it up and put on salve and ointment to keep out the infections. So we knew what to do. So it wasn't the wound that could have destroyed me, but it was the lack of understanding that could have destroyed me. Because let's say I didn't know what to do. Let's say I didn't know to go to the hospital and I just left it bleed. Well, eventually I'd maybe run out of blood. Eventually maybe infection would set in, gangrene, I have to get the hand or arm amputated, right? So you understand the thinking. It wasn't the wound as such that could have destroyed me. It would have been my lack of understanding on how to get healed, right? And that's a big thing, because we sometimes think, well, that wound is the thing that can destroy us. But it's not knowing how to get healed that really is what destroys us. And so wounds, if we don't know how to deal with them, they can cause major problems later on in life. And I'll talk to you about that. See, the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians, he said, we need to tear down imaginations and speculations and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so if you were to translate that into more modern terminology, tear down imaginations and speculations is one part. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ is the second part. So tear down imaginations and speculations. In other words, stop reliving and thinking about all the things that the people did to you, right? Because we do that, don't we? You know, I can't tell you how often at night I would be lying there on my bed and reliving all the things that happened and all, you know, just remembering it and just living it all over again, keeping it all fresh. So Paul here, the Apostle Paul, is saying, tear down that, stop thinking like that, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, what does that mean? Start thinking the way Jesus told you to think. And what did Jesus say? Well, in a number of verses, we are told we're to forgive. And I think most of us know that, but there's a secret, which probably a lot of you don't know. He said we're supposed to forgive, but we're also supposed to bless our enemies, and we're also supposed to love our enemies. And there's a lot of scriptures I can give you to support that. And that's an important distinction, because over the years, we've had many people come and say, Michael, I've forgiven Johnny 3,649 times, but I still have all this anger. I still have all this hatred. I still relive it as though it just happened yesterday. That's because they haven't done the second part of it. Let me just ask you a question here, just to pause for a second. Tell me if this is true or false. Would you say that an emotional or mental wound can feel just as real and hurt just as much, maybe even sometimes more so than a physical wound? Right? Very true, eh? Now, in a physical wound, for instance, these stitches that I had on my wrist, what happened is the doctor put in the stitches. That was the first thing. So forgiving is like putting in stitches. You stop the blood flow. That's a very important part. But the second thing you need to do is you have to begin to say, Father, I choose to bless Johnny. Or even if you don't know the person's name, the guy in the red car. That was somebody on my list once. Lord, I choose to bless them. Bless his truck, his turkey, his donkeys, chickens, whatever, it doesn't matter. And then the really hard part, Father, would you fill my heart with love that I would see Johnny the way you'd see him? Because I got kind of bad news for you. It's good news and bad news. God loves you, which is the good news. The bad news is God also loves Johnny. Right? God also loves the people that hurt us. And that person doesn't deserve our forgiveness, but we don't deserve God's forgiveness either, right? So you have to say, Father, I choose to forgive that person. I choose to bless that person. And Lord, would you fill my heart with your love for that person so that I would love them and see them the way you do. Now, a physical wound, you know, it takes a little while to heal. And an emotional wound, sometimes if we do nothing about it, never heals. It could be going on for 20 years, whereas a physical wound won't go on for 20 years. If you've had that wound in there for that period of time, it's not going to take 20 years to get healed, but it'd probably take more than 20 minutes. You might have to work at this for a little while. You might have to say, you know, Lord, I've already forgiven that person, but I choose to pray blessing on that person. And Father, let me see them and think of them and love them even the way you do. And I can guarantee you, I can promise you, if you do that, it'll happen. You've heard we're supposed to love our enemies, right? Most of you probably heard that. Well, how can you? In and of ourselves, like just by ourselves, how can you? Some of the things that people have done is really mean, really cruel. So how can you love them yourself? It's almost impossible. I'd say it probably is impossible. That's why you have to say, Father, you realize you never have to lie to God. You don't have to do anything to try and impress God. You can say, Father, I can't love Johnny in and of myself. I really can't. I don't have the ability to. But you love him, Father, so you can give me your heart of love that I will see him the way you do. And I promise you that if you do that at some point in time, you can literally meet that person on a streetcar or on a bus or in a restaurant even. And you know what your reaction will probably be? Where in the past you would have either run away or you would have wanted to knock him one. You could actually walk up and shake their hand or even wrap your arms around him and hug him, because God healed your heart. He can do that. I promise you, but you have to do it. This stuff is very, very real. And you see, the forgiving, as I said, is like putting in the stitches, but asking the Lord to fill your heart with love is like rubbing on the salve. And when you have a wound and you rub on salve, what does the salve keep out? Infections. That's right, right? The salve or the ointment, that keeps out infections. What are the infections of a wounded spirit? Bitterness, anger, hatred, revenge. Or if it's turned inwards, self-hatred, depression, suicide, all the things that go with that. So that's literally what you need to do. You need to really take some time. And we're really concerned that you move past, you know, the things that the enemy is trying to keep you in. Take some time and ask God to show you. This is a very real exercise. Lord, would you show me all the people that have hurt me? It'd be best if you could do this in a quiet place somewhere where you're by yourself. And then as things start to come to your mind, if you don't remember the name, you just write down the incident. But don't start reliving it. Just make a note of it. Just make a list. Don't do anything else. Just make the list. And then afterwards, begin to pray through that list. Lord, I forgive that person. I ask that you would bless that person and fill my heart with love, that I would love him and see him the way you do. I need to tell you something. The people that have hurt you, most of them, why do they hurt you? Exactly, because they hurt. You see, you've heard probably it's hurting people that hurt people, right? And there's things that happen in people's lives that cause them to lash out and hurt others. It's not right, but there's somebody, that person that hurt you, there's somebody that hurt them that caused them to react that way. We, you know, this whole revenge thing, we really think that we want that revenge. And I think of a story once where there was a guy who got hurt because he always parked in a certain spot at work, and then somebody stole his parking spot and really cut him off, and he had to park way down the other spot. And sound maybe like a minor thing, but to him it was a big thing. And every time he saw that guy at work, you know, he would think, that guy, one day, you know, and he'd be lying there in bed at night even and reliving that and thinking, you know, bad thoughts behind his back at work. And then we were working through this teaching, and he realized he needed to forgive that guy. And one night he was lying there, and God spoke to him and said, I want you to go and ask him to forgive you. And he said, what? That doesn't make any sense. He's the guy, but he's the guy. And God said, I know, but I want you to go ahead and do that. So he thought, this is crazy. But he went over and he said to the guy, listen, do you remember that time when such and such happened? And the guy looked at him and said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, no, come on, there was that time when such and such. And the guy looked at him and he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And you see, God showed that to him to teach him that we hold on to these grudges thinking we're getting even. And that guy didn't even remember. See, there's three types of people that hurt us. The first type of person that hurts us is somebody who's just mean. And there just are mean people out there. They hurt you, and they know that they've hurt you, and they don't care. We probably all encountered some of those, right? And so me or you not forgiving that person, what does that do to them? Nothing. They're mean. They don't care. And then there's the second type of person that hurts us, and they did something, and they hurt us, but they don't even know about it. And that happens too, where people just do it, you know, they didn't even realize that they did it. Maybe a type A personality just focused, you know, and doesn't even realize that they've hurt people in the wake. And so again, me not forgiving that person does what to them? Nothing. Zero. They don't even know. And then there's a third type of person that they hurt us and they know, and maybe they're even sorry, but still me not forgiving them does very little, if anything, to them. Who's the one being hurt by it? We are. See, it's not that the other person is being left off the hook. It's not that what they did to us is okay. It's for us to be healed. It's kind of a bizarre twist, but such are the things in the kingdom of God. Now, how many people would say that if you were to really, really do this, especially if you've never done it before, that you would actually really feel like doing it? Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. One person, maybe. Most people, no. There's no way you feel like doing this. In your emotions, you want to go and exact some kind of revenge, right? But we're not supposed to be led by our feelings. And so I want you to do this, to take time to do this seriously, even in the midst of whatever you're feeling, even in the midst of whatever emotion is going on. You know, we were helping once a girl who was a victim of ritualistic satanic abuse, and she had been abused like that since she was about 4 years old, and she's in her 30s now. And we're trying to get her to work through this forgiveness. That was extremely hard, and sometimes people say, I can't. What they're really saying is, I don't feel it in my heart, I don't feel that it's real, so I can't forgive. Don't worry about what your feelings are. You do it, and then your feelings will follow. If you wait until you feel like forgiving someone, when are you likely to do it? Probably never, right? What would change that would cause you to all of a sudden want to do it or feel like doing it? So you do it because, first of all, it's the right thing to do because you're following the command of God. The second reason is for yourself, to release yourself from that hook that many times can keep us in bondage. You know, when I first did this, when somebody taught me this whole concept here, and I had to make my list of people that I had to forgive, I had so many names on there, they thought that I actually went to the yellow pages and just wrote down people's names. No, that's really all the people. And boy, I did not feel like doing it. Nothing in me felt like doing it. But I realized somewhere deep down inside, I realized the truth of it. And my teeth were clenched and you know, my knuckles were clenched and everything else that can be clenched was clenched. But I said it, Father, I forgive Johnny. I said it, though. The next time I said it was just a little tiny bit easier. The next time, just a little tiny bit easier. And now, I don't even remember most of those things that happened. And the ones that I do remember, they have no effect. It's kind of like the scar that I told you about on this wrist. When that was fresh, if you would have come up and touched it or bumped it or something, that would have really been pretty sensitive, right? I would have reacted pretty strongly. Now, I can touch it and, you know, do it. There's absolutely no effect because it's healed. And so when our hearts are healed, that's what will happen to us. Okay, I don't want to keep you too long here. So the number one reason we forgive is because the Lord told us to, and the second reason that we do is for ourselves. I want to just read something to you here. I got this off of MSN Canada Health. It says, science is beginning to verify advice long given by spiritual leaders and wise moms and dads. Nursing grudges against those who have done you wrong will hurt you worse than it hurts them. New work shows it can contribute to emotional problems and even to heart disease. June 17 to 23 is National Forgiveness Week, an ideal time to work at finding it in your heart to save your heart by forgiving those who trespass against you. Isn't that interesting? That's non-church medical science, recognizing the importance of forgiveness, recognizing how much damage can be done through unforgiveness. You know, we have in life, and it's one of the things that we want to do is set some of these things back in order, because we're out of order. We have in life, you know, these problems that we're all suffering, and so we go to different places and we're taught to develop these coping skills. Well, I believe that God has a much better way. God can set us completely free from that, which is a whole lot better than just trying to cope with it, right? See, I can go to some kind of seminar and develop, you know, the anger management skills, how to manage my anger, or I can do what God taught through this and get rid of it altogether and not have to live like that anymore, not have to manage it. And that's why we're here. We want to set some of these things back in order. See, a person who has unforgiveness has a lot of torment. There was a guy that we were working with, and he was convinced that his wife had committed adultery. She swore she never did, but he was convinced that she did. And so we told him the importance of forgiveness, and he understood that and realized that, and he said, okay, I'm going to forgive her. And so he said, Lord, I forgive her. I ask that you would bless her, fill my heart with love for her. And we prayed for him, but he still had, literally had voices in his head. He had lost his job, and he had, you know, been kicked out of his house and everything. It was really not a good situation. And so we said, well, there's got to be something else. And so I just happened to, you know, think of it. I said, well, you've forgiven your wife, but have you forgiven the guy? And he said, no way. Well, you got to do both. It's not that we're condoning adultery. It's not that we're saying the sin is okay. And nor are we saying that the stuff that people did to you is okay. But we need to do that for us to be released. And so we led him through a prayer, and boy, it was hard. He was shaking, his teeth were clenched, and fists were clenched, and the whole thing. Right after we said that prayer, we prayed for him, and immediately that thing that was plaguing him was gone. Do you remember last week, Bill read us a scripture in Matthew 18, and it said there that if we do not forgive, we'll be released to the, does anyone remember the word at all? The tormentors. Yeah, that's right. And that's exactly, that guy was a picture-perfect example of torment, if there is such a thing. Because that thing just eats at us, and it's never going to let us go until we get some of these understandings and put this stuff into practice. You know, a lady came through our center once that we were running there, and she was brought up in a very strict, strong home, Christian home, or church home anyway. And, you know, they were told that, you know, we're not supposed to ever have problems, so you never talk about anything. So nobody ever said anything. I mean, there was the general conversation, but nothing real ever. You keep everything bottled up inside. Well, you know what happens if you keep everything bottled up inside forever, eh? Eventually, something's going to give, something's going to explode. So that doesn't work. So she went to a counselor, and the counselor said, no, that doesn't work. You can't do that. You have to talk about it. You got to bring it out and expose it and talk about it. And so she did that, and you probably can't see it this well. Maybe I should have put it on an overhead, but she drew this picture for me. And this was after something like 8 weeks of, 1.5 years of therapy. I thought it was 8 weeks, a lot longer. But at the beginning, she was just talking about it, and each circle gets bigger and bigger. And she said, at the beginning, I started to feel hurt, and I started to feel sad as I talked about it. And then she said, I started feeling more anger and more crying more. And then she said, depression set in. Then all of a sudden, it was chronic fatigue, apathy, insomnia. She started looking for more counselors. All of a sudden, she started writing angry letters, talking more and more to people. She started replaying the hurts in her mind over and over, trying to justify. Then she felt anger, hatred explode. She hears the name of the offender and felt rage. And she even says, this is her own thing, she said, I even wanted them dead. Now, she was about 82, about, you know, this high, 108 pounds, something like that. She wanted them dead. That's how much this stuff can eat at us. We have to be set free of these things. And she had built up these walls between her and the people that have hurt her. For her, it was mostly her family. Isn't that kind of the way it goes? Mostly the ones close to us, Not always, but a lot of times it is, right? But God began to speak to her as she did that, and he said to her, listen, you need to forgive so that you can be healed, but you also need to take down that wall, and instead I want you to look at those people through the cross instead of just seeing them behind that wall. And so she did that, and he said to her, who is your husband? Remember, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was burned, he was abandoned, he was abused, rejected, he shut down emotionally because it hurts too much to feel. How can you blame him? And then he said, who was your father? He's a little boy whose mother died when he was 12 years old. He was never allowed to grieve. He was rejected by his father with no modeling of a parent, and he married a woman who would mother him. And who was your mother? A wounded child parenting her sister since she was 6 years old. She herself was emotionally and physically abused by her parents. How can you blame her? So you see, it's hurting people that hurt people. It's not to say that what they did is okay, but they need healing just as much as we do. And it has to stop somewhere. Do you realize that this stuff many times goes on for generations? The father's angry, and then the son's angry, and then the grandson's angry, and then the great-grandson's angry. You've seen that, right? Where things like on and on and on down the generations. Somewhere along the line it has to stop. Why not here? Why not now?